Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Match Ball.
Hello to you. Welcome to the Match Ball for the Forest game. Dan here with Rob and with Moscow White as well. No Michael today. He's down at the actual game.
I bet he's having a great time.
Yes. The show is brought to you along with Levi Solicitors, who will offer you a 10% discount on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball.
Do you think they offer it on missold away tickets?
Potentially. Yeah, dispute resolution, that probably falls under.
Trade descriptions?
Asking us to let you know that they can help you wherever you are in the country with their conveyancing wills, probate, and plenty more commercial stuff as well.
Whether in Leeds or Nottingham.
Yeah, they do online booking system and they do digital appointments like so. What's that? What's the word? Video calls. That's the word I was after, isn't it? Anyway, into the game itself.
How are they on employment law?
Yes.
Experts, do they know about that? Yes. You know, risk of being fired perhaps, or... You know, you feel an unfair dismissal, or perhaps a fair dismissal.
Did you look at me when you said that?
I'm not in the mood for levity, but that was quite funny. So, yeah, good. Is that Jesse done, do you think?
Probably not, which is the worry, I think. I'd say it should be, but I don't know. I don't personally expect him to be gone anytime soon, but I don't really want to watch any more of his football.
It's not good, is it?
It's boring. That's what I said towards the end of that game. Yeah. And I think I've said it on this Match Ball before, like, it's just times when I watch Leeds and we're just so insipid. And you might look at it and go, well, we've had more shots, or like, we had loads of more possession today. But it's just crap, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Watching them all stand right next to each other with the ball pinballing around. Like, I think I said after the Leicester game, I've never seen a team have to do so little to win a game. I think they beat us 2-0 with one shot on target. Like Forest today, they've had 30% possession and two shots on target. And they've won quite comfortably, I'd argue. Like, they didn't really have to do a great deal.
Well, their two shots came from, well, the two big chances came from set pieces. The first one that they scored from, then there was one in the second half when we just left Sam Surridge alone, at the same way that we left Johnson alone in the first half, and he shot over. And if it had been a bit of a better shot, it was going in the top corner. So that's all they have to do to win, is nothing. And then we'll give them a couple of goals from free kicks. There was an argument at halftime to say, yeah, we've played well and we've had all of the match, and Nyonto's done very well despite being double marked all the way through, and keep that up. But then the second half, Forrest made a couple of substitutions and that was the end of it. Didn't do anything in the second half. So first half, there was a bit of something there. We started brightly and then conceded, and then we were obviously get to halftime and could quite justifiably say, yeah, Leeds are the better team and should be winning this match. But then I think that's how you've got to judge it. We were the better team in the first half and should have been winning the match.
We should have been 3 or 4-1 up, shouldn't we?
And instead of sorting that out in the second half, we just became a boring, incapable
side, wasn't it?
That lost.
Yeah.
And I don't think those are the things we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Supposed to be playing, even if we don't play well, it would be good. We need to win. And the argument until now has been like, is even when we do play well, we don't win. And when are we going to win? And if we don't win against Forest, I mean, I don't know when we are going to win.
Yeah, because that game was there to be won, because they weren't great, but it, like so many teams in this division, even the weak ones, know how to set up against us, don't they, unfortunately?
Yeah, it's a bit of a... I don't know, it was certainly at the start of the season, there was a recurring theme that when we had more of the ball, we tended to lose or not play as well, because, yeah, there's no kind of thought of how to play through teams, I guess. It's all the Red Bull stuff, isn't it, which is no good.
Yeah, I can't say I'm enjoying it particularly much.
There was no clarity in that final third whatsoever. And there was the argument for a while a couple of weeks ago when Marsh went on his rant about whether we play with width or not. She's like, oh no, this is all, Pep Guardiola has the same ideas as me. And I was like, the shape of our attack in the second half. And then thinking back
Prime
to
Pep.
Yeah, thinking back, and if you, well, people can do it now, turn on Man City against Tottenham in half an hour and then just try and do an overlay or a side-by-side of the way that we attack teams and the way Manchester City attack teams. It's not even down to whether you've got good players or not. It's about the ideas of what you're trying to do on the pitch are just worlds apart. And we don't have to be Manchester City, but we don't need our manager even contemplating that in part of the discussion when we go out and play as we did in the second half. Or even in the first half, we were on top, but it's not like there was a particular like way you could see us scoring a goal. It was going to be a scramble in the box leads to us, which we had a couple of chances off that flavour, leads to us scuffing the ball in. And if you don't do that, then what you're left with?
Not a right lot.
Patrick Bamford did scuff the ball.
Oh, bless him. It was
he had one of his Bamfordy days today, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean this is the thing with the first half. You do have to say in the first half that you've got to point a bit of finger of blame, or the players have got to take responsibility for not finishing the chances that were presented to them, because we should have scored three, maybe four, arguably, in that first half. But I've realised, in terms of what you guys are saying there, that second half, I didn't really watch it. I've just realised I couldn't really tell you much of what happened in that second
Nothing
half.
Happened.
I just sort of mentally disengaged from it. And I was just going to say that Bielsa was fired for arguably following the mantra of do plan A better. And it feels like we're in the same place again now. And I'm trying to be entirely fair to Marsh here, because there have been some nice moments, but there's so many crap moments as well.
Pretty much all the notes I've taken in the second half, which are very few, are just like subs coming on and off. And there was one big Nottingham Forest chance, which we missed because the perfectly legal stream we were watching.
My Sky Sports disconnected, didn't it?
Yeah, Sky Go didn't work.
One of the things that Marsh was brought in with in his locker was tactical flexibility, or at least formational flexibility, which we may have confused when we heard about it for tactical flexibility. And he will change formations, I think, at times. We had three at the back today because Luke Ayling is going so far forward. And then formationally, we left Jack Harrison somewhere near Leicester, I think, because I don't really know what he was supposed to be doing apart from... And then there was the second half things going on where we had Somerville, Nyonto and Harrison all playing on the left wing together, and then joined by Firpo once he came on. He's not showing any signs of really changing. Well, his whole deal lately has been that we're getting to the point where we're getting, after 10 months, to be very good at what he's been trying to do for 10 months.
And it's still not good enough. That is the point, isn't it?
So it's not even an inability to shift from plan A. He still hasn't made plan A work in a way that wins matches. So maybe plan A is brilliant and is a great idea, but until he can actually get the players to do it, I don't think we're going to get anything from it. So what are we doing?
We're wasting games is what we're doing ultimately. Today is the first day where I've just sat here and thought, he's taking us down. Because given that, if you buy into the sense that we've been building up a little bit of momentum in recent weeks, and the football has been better, we've looked more dangerous, albeit we need to caveat that by saying it was against Cardiff and then Accrington that we beat. And even then, Accrington...
We looked all right against Villa, though, didn't we?
Yeah.
Stupid concessions.
Sort of up to a point, but it feels like we've learned nothing and we've built nothing on top of what we built in the last few weeks, when you look at that today.
He had all his weapons in the second half and we got worse.
Yeah. I was really looking forward to today from the perspective of wanting to see what McKenny did and Ruta did, particularly when we learned that they were on the bench rather than starting. And I just realised their entire performances have just passed me by. I don't really know what either of them did, if anything.
Yeah, I keep getting to that point with Jesse Marsh's Leeds where I think we might be all right, or I'm looking forward to seeing his play, and then I watch his play and I'm like, oh no, we're just actually quite bad, aren't we? Like, there's nothing more to it. And I know some people are still kind of defending him and get upset about how we talk about him, but it's nothing more than I watch his football and I just think it's crap and I don't enjoy it.
And not getting any wins from it either. If we're playing crap football and winning, then there's an argument, isn't there? But there's not really anything you can say about... Forest had... If the only difference between their record and ours before this game was the game in hand. So I think they had one more win than us. Everything else was the same. Just they played one more game and won it. But then you actually see us together on the pitch and we can't even create chances against them in the second half, and we give them soft goals. I mean, if you want a positive out of today, Liam Cooper, who is an old friend of Chris Wood, kept him very quiet. You didn't see Chris Wood anywhere. And yet somehow, Forest still win. So we can play, and it's the things that go back to like that goal, the goal that we conceded, leaving Johnson unmarked at the edge of the box from a free kick on the second ball. So when the ball's cleared, he can just shoot in. And then that's what happened in the second half with Surridge being free. The ball's been a free kick, it's been cleared, comes back in, and there's just nobody is anywhere near their main striker.
At that point, there was like six people all around the D, weren't there? Because we kind of looked at it and we laughed.
And nobody looking at the striker who's just come on in place of Chris Wood, and he has a great chance to score.
That's a structural issue, isn't it?
Well, it's not structural is the team, it's organisational. So it's what are we doing at set pieces to make sure that when there is a second ball, who is going to mark who? And it's details. And I have this, I don't know. I think...
Well, it goes back to what I my big fear about Marsh was that I vocalised some months ago, which was he was all vibes and not detail.
Yeah,
and
he confirmed that in his recent, the seminar that was reported on recently, where he said, you know, it's almost more important than the football coaching is the leadership and the environment that you create. And I think this is it. He's worked very hard on creating his leadership environment, which is obviously an approach with its merits. But then he's done that. And then in the intervening 10 months, like, why not go into that leadership environment and tell them who to mark on the second ball on a corner?
Yeah.
And that seems to be the bit that's not missing is, you know, it's all great that everybody's turning up every day ready to learn and ready to grow as people and show leadership qualities and get the best out of each other and turn up and all this kind of stuff. But at some point, you need to just say, when the ball is coming back into the box, Mark, you are marking him. And that never seems to happen because we never seem to get any better at defending against set pieces. So that sort of basic organisation, you can point at players at that and say, well, Liam Cooper should be telling them who to mark, or Max Verber should be telling them who to mark. But ultimately, that is the coach's responsibility.
We've seen evidence of it. Sorry,
we've seen evidence from Neil Warnock's dressing room. Remember, we had that massive
rash.
No, it's that footage of him yelling at one of the defenders who said, "Oh, I went to mark him because he was free," and he said, "No, you were supposed to be marking the other one. And if the other one scores because I've left him free, that's my responsibility." It is down to the manager to decide how we do those.
I was just going to say, there's evidence of it this weekend in the sense of what Sean Dyche has managed to achieve. It's only one game, and this is only one game, but we're going off the body of evidence of 10 months to a year now, aren't we? But Dyche going into Everton and having them defending so doggedly and a lot more organised than perhaps they were. So I can't help. I mean, I'm not a football expert. I'm just, you know, I'm just a dickhead who happens to be on this show, and it's a thing we do. But I've seen enough football to know when footballers need to be told what to do. You know what I mean? There's just a lack of defensive organisation, isn't there? And the same seems to apply going forward, but for different reasons. Like, there was a point at which we were laughing when everybody was boxed over on the far side today during that game. And we're like, why don't you try using some of the grass over here? Work the ball over here instead of trying to play these really, really intricate passes in tight areas where we end up turning it over. It's just very, very unattractive, isn't it?
We got about three throw-ins in that phase where we were right up against their box and we never stopped and thought, let's have a long throw into their penalty area. It's like, oh, there's about 20 players over here. Let's just take a short one and try to fucking play through them all, which is probably, it just always chooses the more difficult option.
And it's like the stuff that we're meant to be good at because it's part of the plan. But like, I made a note on 20 minutes and it was a move that ended with Morgan Gibbs-White having a shot blocked on the edge of our area. But the ball was initially in Forrest's half and the way we pressed was just carnage, basically, and Harrison had run over to the right wing and they were sort of playing through us and eventually would get stuck in again, and I think we won the ball, but again it was just there, everyone stood next to each other, so eventually Forrest win the ball, and because our pressing's all over the place, it was Pascal Strauch, who, believe it or not, our left back was out of position, and it all just looks a mess. Like, it's
really, and that's crap. When Tyler Adams had to go sprinting back to bail him out, and then the ball got past him anyway, and it meant that their midfielder was running to the edge of the penalty area where Tyler Adams should have been if Pascal Strauch didn't need help. So you've got Tyler Adams running around trying to do three different jobs and Nottingham Forest is lining up for a shot at the edge of the box. And the thing is, Marsh will say that this is all stress. The reason that the players don't have any clarity when they go on the pitch is stress, because he prepares them, he gives them all the information, and he gives them the tactical plans and the match plan.
His tactical plans and match plans are causing stress. That's causing
exactly,
stress.
Exactly, yes. And it's not that they're going out there and it's like, oh, we've been given a really good plan, but now we're too stressed to perform it.
Because even when we get chances, we look like panicked.
But again, he'll just say that's down to stress. But then at some point, like, it's why would Rutter be stressed? he came on and did really do a great deal. McKennie came on and did really do a great deal. Those players shouldn't be stressed. There's nothing really to worry them. They should just be able to come on and play. But they're coming onto a field full of just, I don't think anybody knows what they're doing.
It was just before the Villa game, I read an article on The Athletic about them, and it was all about what Emery has changed since replacing Gerrard. And the line in the article that really stood out was that the Villa players had been just grown tired of being told what to do and not how to do it.
Mm.
And I remember reading that line and being like, ah, fuck, I think that might be something similar going on at Leeds. Like, he keeps saying, we all know what he wants to do and how, like, what he wants us to play like, because he talks about it all the time and there's various seminars and YouTube videos about it. But then when he kind of talks about how to do it, that's when he goes back to, we need to be less stressed and have more clarity.
Yeah. And you wonder if there's more going on in the dressing room, but then I don't think there is.
Yeah, that's the thing. You give him the benefit of the doubt and think, well, I don't see training.
Mm.
I don't see what's going on. I'm sure it can't be that.
Well, do you
there's
know what?
Detailed video sessions and stuff, but is this what's coming out of it?
And the thing is, and people always say, you always get back to Bielsa. The problem is, we saw the absolute antithesis of this with Bielsa, which was taking ordinary players and getting them super organised, super drilled into those recognisable patterns that we all saw, into a system of play that worked up to a point until it didn't work anymore, because whether the players were burnt out, weren't good enough, all that sort of stuff, fine. You know, that can be kind of analysed on its own merits, can't it, towards the end. But we had a body of evidence for 3 years that really, really good organisation and training, details, work and matter. And it feels like we've gone and swung to the other extreme opposite of that.
And we've also seen Sean Dyche compressing. He said that this week he compressed 4 weeks of work into 4 days, puts them out and they beat Arsenal. And, you know, it's the same with Emery can come in and the guy at Wolves. I mean, I've been against change for change's sake with Marsh. I've been very much of the mind of that we've got a good enough team to sort of stay up whatever the sort of style of play is, or how or what Marsh kind of does, that, you know, he'll play his part in it, because I don't, his entire, this, because we are just completely demolishing him individually, like in calmer moments I see, like, the style of play is not without merit. It can be successful in some clubs, it can work, things can be good about it. And so my feeling has just been, we'll just let this go until the end of the season and then so much will happen. I think he might welcome the opportunity to quit if he was invited. If you said, Jesse, you don't have to worry about this anymore, go and travel, I think he would be, that's kind of in his mind. But I don't think today, with his new bench full of weapons and then the way that the second half went in particular, after he'd had a chance to sort of say, what did he say to them about the first half? That was great, keep doing that. And then they come out and were worse just because they, Nottingham Forest made two changes. So,
and we can't see a way to break it down.
But I'm now thinking, and also I worry if we did sack him, so this is the sort of the argument against, is that we go to Old Trafford and who is in charge? Is it Chris Armas, who's just come in and is essentially, is Jesse Marsh's brother from another mother? They are essentially the same person, the same coach, like there wouldn't be any different. Is it Rennie Maric? We put a blogger in charge, in which case, like, me or Rob will have a go if it's getting that fucking desperate. Is it Cameron Toshack, who, as Rob pointed out earlier, subbed Luke Ayling off by mistake last season? Or are we down to, are we going to have Mike Scubala?
Scoobs.
Scoob?
Give it Scoobs.
Scoobs till the end of the season. And I quite like it. I mean, there's almost, if it is about, because I'm just ranting now, but I watched that, there was a clip of Vincent Kompany's first presentation to the Burnley players. Was on Twitter the other day, and he was saying, in that, he was talking about the approach that they'll be taking. He said, we'll go into much more detail about it. He's saying, we'll want to, every situation, we want to think we will be able to score a goal from here, so I'll be working on you, and it's going to take months of work for you to get the idea that when our goalie has the ball, we can score from there, but I'll do it. He says, and one of the things mentioned, part of that will be the weight of pass. That's going to be important for how we do this. And I look at sometimes, particularly, it's old Brendan Aaronson when he plays, and when he tries to play a through ball, and he's constantly pinging them off Rodrigo's heels. It's like somebody needs to teach him how to play a through ball into a player's path, so it's not just bouncing off the backside every time he tries to do it. And there's so many, there was a pass, Nyonto has great control, but quite often we ping the ball at him really hard, and it's only because he's a good player that he can control it. So maybe Scoobs, with his futsal expertise, can come in and teach them how to pass and control the ball. We're at the point where Tyler Adams can't even pass forward to Weston McKennie anymore. And they're basically, you know, they're best friends. You think anything, if any two players on that pitch could pass 20 yards into an attacking situation. And I think it got a big boo from the away end because it was Tyler Adams just banging it out for a goal kick when Weston McKennie was the target. And it's like, if Scoobs can teach them to pass to each other, they're on Team Scoobs. But beyond that, I don't know who goes on the touchline at Old Trafford on Wednesday night if Marsh isn't there. And that worries me. But then up until... So that's been my worry. But then at the end of that game, I just thought, like, literally anybody could probably make those players play better. Because I think it's quite an easy thing, is you just say to them, right, you're all good players. You know all the shit that he's been telling you to do for the last year? We're not going to fucking do that anymore. Just go and do something else. And then I think the team will just immediately, I think that might be all it takes for that team.
A different voice can work.
Not even just a different voice. Just don't do that anymore, because literally anything else will be better.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
He's taking full responsibilities, Marsh. In the post-match comments. Yeah, Tom in the comments on YouTube actually is asking, at what point in this game did you guys lose hope? I just only reiterate what I said before, which was I kind of just gradually realised in the second half that I hadn't watched any of it. I was like, I just kind of kept glancing at it, but so nothing's happening. So and I was thinking about, you know, setting stuff up in here for this stream before I realised it got to like 70 minutes. I was like, oh God, I haven't been watching it for like 25 minutes now.
Whenever the opposition open the scoring, I tend to just think now, all right.
Probably done it.
We're going to have to chase it, right? And I don't know. Never really felt good vibes today.
It has been commented on the YouTube comments that we're all dressed in black for a funeral, which is not correct. I am wearing a black hoodie.
Yeah, this is blue. Is that very dark?
This is
blue.
Navy as well.
Yeah, oh no, actually, it's black.
Yeah, so Moscow's in black, but Rob's wearing blue.
I dress in the dark. That's the problem.
It is the lighting here. It is adjusted to make to be as flattering as possible to make us.
Yeah, I've just seen you. Just look like a floating head.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Marsh is saying that it's difficult to keep the players upbeat in a period like this.
Yeah, that's good. Like this is, he's Mr. Positivity, isn't he? Like it's, you know, he is Mr. Vibes. That's what he does. And then it really worries me. He's done it a few times now this season. Where it's like, God, yeah, these players have no hope.
Lost discipline. Like, he's commenting about the players losing discipline in the second half.
It's like in his pre-match press conference, and he says, we're ready to be good now. And then once we're good, we can concentrate on being great. And it is that thing of like, you've been here nearly a year, mate.
I have to find a way to turn good performances into winning. That's our last step. Seems quite a big step. And also it feels like today,
you can do the winning even with shit performances, you know. You're allowed to
see,
do that.
I could see the credit for Villa. And who else did we play? Well, we didn't lose for a while. We haven't lost for a while in the Premier League, have we?
Haven't won for a while either.
That's the thing. But so the improvement in performances has been real, and willing to give him all the credit. And like, yeah, smashing Cardiff was fun. And drawing with West Ham, again, that's a game we needed to win, but you're kind of like, okay, it's all been kind of pushed along of like, you can take it as long as we do X against Y. And X really was win and Y was Forest. And whether we can just push that further down the road and go like, okay, we lose at Forest, but as long as we beat Southampton and then as long as we beat Everton.
Well, we keep kicking that can down the road, don't we? And I've kind of run out of can to kick. I don't have the will to continue with this. It needs to end.
I've lost count now, but what is the run of league wins since Chelsea? Is it 2-19 or 2-18?
He won't want to look at that statistic. Don't look at the bad statistic. Look at the good statistic.
It's all about the feelings, isn't it? Yeah. Time for any of the kids?
But he is focused entirely on how to help this group in this moment.
And, okay, what's he been doing for the last year then?
He's been focused entirely on how to help this group in this moment.
Absolute fortune spent on this squad.
It seems to be a very long-running moment, doesn't it?
I mean, Ding, who's in the comments, is, I know Ding is not a fan of Marsh, to say the very least, but it's just that the biggest disaster was winning that Liverpool game and then scraping past Bournemouth. Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? It's tough. But there have been concerns right across the season after the initial burst that we had at the start of the season, the 8 points in four, and it all looked fine. We've been the worst team in the league since then. So, I mean, I know, you know, you can be selective with stats to make them show anything that you need, but it's getting increasingly and increasingly longer that if you remove that early season sort of little, do you want to call it a blip, a positive blip? Can you have a positive blip?
Yeah. I don't know. It's like half a season since then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's the other point. Sorry to interrupt. I mean, I do all the time, so I apologise now. But halfway through the season, how many games have we had? Is that 20? That's game 20, wasn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
And so we're a game past halfway. Jesse Marsh will insist constantly, this isn't a relegation battle. We're still very early in the season. We're getting our new weapons in. It's all fine. What was happening in stoppage time? Ilan Meslier is up for a corner. If we're not in trouble, then why at the halfway point of the season does Meslier, I presume he had permission, unless that's the lack of discipline that Marsh is talking about. But why is our goalkeeper having to go up for a corner halfway through the season to try and bail us out?
Other things as well,
for a point against Nottingham Forest.
We know that this club doesn't have or didn't have in the preceding windows bottomless pots of money to go out and buy people. But I look at that today and I just think, sign a left back. How many times do we need to see Pascal being okay, but his body shape and his awareness and his career to this date is not as a left back. None of it points towards a particularly good skill set as a left back. So how have we found ourselves in this position still where they think that this is enough? And, you know, it's possibly fine, you know, if the team's on a decent run of form, but it's like anything in football, isn't it? It's all fine margins. And just by being a bit under par at left back and not having a left back in there, it can get horribly exposed. And when we saw it in the goal, didn't we? I mean, it was frustrating that it was offside in the build-up to that, but then the VAR can't intervene because it's a separate phase of play. Okay, fair enough. Strike was a bit unlucky to get booked in the first instance, but it was then very lucky in the second half not to get a second yellow and probably got away with it because the first one was so weak. But all these little things add up, don't they? Just make you think, just put a left back in there.
I'd like one. But I mean, to be honest, I'm more concerned about Pascal's hair at the minute because he's looking, as I was saying, like the baseball player in The Simpsons who Mr. Burns keeps getting to shave off his sideburns.
is it Daryl Strawberry?
That sounds about right, yeah. But it's just getting too long at the back as well now.
He's trying to get it back to the point. He's regretting cutting it, I think. Mm. He's trying to grow
it's all
back
wrong,
to
isn't
that
it?
Point. Yeah, it's funny with the left-back thing because Max Verber has kind of been smuggled into the club as a left-back, but then is clearly never going to play there ever because he's gone straight into centre-back. And then when Marsh was asked about left-back options and rejigging the defence while Cock was out, he's talking about bringing Firpo back in. So the idea of playing Verber at left-back seems to be just completely alien to him. So I don't know, we've been lied to.
Yes, yeah.
But here is we are going to buy a left-back and that everything will be fine. Here is your left-back, psych, which is a bit of an odd thing. I don't know, and that, again, maybe we need to play a system that doesn't rely on having full-backs bombing up and down the wings to provide any width whatsoever. If we don't have that left-back, we seem to be, you know, playing to less than our strengths. With that, we've certainly got, I mean, Strike's a good player. So again, why aren't we doing something that gets more?
It's destroying his confidence as well. You can see it in him. He's not confident doing the job that he's being asked to do. Maybe, so every time he makes errors or gets caught out or whatever, it's damaging him.
I do worry about that because I thought last season he started off and we were all like, oh, he's great. Young player, looks brilliant. And then he just seems to get dragged down by the whole thing kind of falling apart around him. And I thought he looked like a shell of a bloke sort of in that real wobble.
It was Mattingly, not Daryl Strawberry, says Killer Rabbit.
There we go.
Yeah, it's Daryl Strawberry features in the same episode, though, doesn't he? Yeah, yeah. Anyway, sorry, yeah. Do we want to talk about anything in the game before we go? Because we've actually really touched on the football, just the general sense of this is a lot of bollocks.
There wasn't a great deal that happened. I mean, it does come down to...
I mean, Pat Bamford missing a shot. We had Sinisterra, should have put it in once, maybe twice.
Yeah, we can look at that. We have said that the first half was decent, but why wasn't the second half as decent? And because that's what it needed. If we're good in the first half, but couldn't, the only thing we had to add to it was a goal. And why did, instead of doing that, did we get worse? That's the
There was a nice moment at the end of the first half when I looked up and Ilan Meslier just gone for a wander outside his penalty area. Well, luckily it was only Chris Wood.
Chris Wood totally saved us, didn't he?
Yeah, but that was sort of part of the thing of like, I know we're having a few more chances, but we're also acting like idiots, basically. Yeah.
There was still a little bit of players going for the same headers and stuff like that, which seems, that was the theme. I remember when we got battered by Chelsea at Elland Road at the end of last season, shortly after Marsh had taken over, that was, we suddenly had players who had, under Bielsa at least, had kept a respectable distance from each other, crashing into each other in midfield. And I was trying to work out what was going on. But obviously those were the first few weeks and you think, okay, fair enough. We'll work through that. And then 10 months later, they're still just crashing into each other. Nobody's shouting. And it's not new signings doing that. It's players who've been playing together for a long time.
Moscow.
Mm.
He's dropped the stress bomb.
Oh, good. Well,
if you're not with us every day, you don't understand how we feel. Everyone is aligned. We're managing stress instead of development. It interrupts any kind of process you're trying to create. Well, we know we have to get a result. I'm focused entirely on how to help the group. Just put some fucking tactics in that work.
Stop trying to worry about stress and do all the other
stuff.
What,
do you know what will alleviate stress? Winning some football matches.
And having a plan that the players know work.
Yeah.
And they
believe in. Honestly.
This is it. He is, he's about environment and he's about culture. And he always says that. He says that from way back. It's about why, I mean, you know, I spent my summer listening to him droning on in podcasts. So I know whereof I speak.
Two peas in a pod.
Where he's going on about all this stuff. The detail. So his attitude is essentially, or his belief, attitude is the wrong way. His idea is that if you create the right environment and that environment doesn't have stress or it has ways of managing stress, then players will just become the best version of themselves almost automatically. And I think that is the part where there's a big missing piece in what he's trying to do. There's nothing wrong with trying to create a positive environment. There's nothing wrong with trying to create a culture of leadership. There is nothing wrong with trying to teach players to manage stress so that they're able to perform.
But it's a football club, not a TED Talk.
But you do all that stuff. Well, even if you don't be, you know, too dismissive of it in the TED Talk style, it is, but, you know, let's be nice for a moment. Give all that its credit. Give all that its due. What's missing is somebody who goes in there and teaches the players how to do the football bits that are currently required.
So what you're saying is we need a manager or a coach.
Even just a coach. Even that's why, I mean, Chris Armas feels like a missed opportunity because as far as I can tell, he does all the same things that Jesse Marsh does in the big kind of environment building thing. And you need somebody to just go in and say, there's another clip that I see.
He thinks he's trying to open a yoga studio, says Dave.
There's somebody, it's from one of the footage of Mikel Arteta teaching the players. The reason that they run in from the wing at Arsenal is because that they can receive the ball on their right foot, defending it from the fullback. So if you are running in towards the penalty area, you receive it there. And the fullback can't get it to you. Whereas if you play the ball in front or trying to go behind the fullback, it's 50-50. That kind of thing just never seems to... Maybe it happens behind the scenes, but there's no evidence of it having happened, that the players are just not getting that kind of granular detail. They have the video sessions, they have the analysis. I know he says he does all this stuff, but we see the results of the... We hear a lot more about the environment and the culture that he's trying to create.
There's no evidence of the counter.
We're kind of assured that the other things are done in quite a dismissive tone. It's way back in the webinar that he does about all his pressing tactics. And at one point, he's asked, he's like, so what do you do when you have the ball? Do you have like, oh yeah, we have tactics for attacking, but you don't have to worry about all that now. It's like, that's the bit that's, you don't worry about. You can have the acronyms, the German phrases, SARD, all this kind of stuff. But it, what does it actually come down to on a granular minute by minute basis just doesn't seem to be having any impact.
It sounds like the sort of training that Michael used to absolutely hate when he was at ITV. You know, they'd send him on a day out with a leadership person or whatever, and he'd be sat there grumbling at the back. That's how I feel about all this now. Just deliver some football.
It's like when Jack Harrison last season went on the Leeds United podcast and he was talking about training under Bielsa, and he was saying, I've been taught movements off the ball, which means when I get the ball, I've already beaten my player. And he talks about, he's taught
what body shape, wasn't it?
Yeah, like, and yeah, he's talked about what spin to put on certain passes. And he talks about, if I'm at a certain part of the touchline, I know to cross to this part of the penalty area. If I'm at a different part, I cross to a different part, and again and again. And yeah, and then, like I say, and then you hear Marsh talk about these things, and it is, be less stressed.
Mm.
It's like, come on.
And the only bit of evidence we know is sort of hit the penalty spot. If in doubt, hit the penalty spot. Yeah. And it feels like percentage football. But we are going around in circles here and repeating ourselves. So
we should they won't get rid of him.
We should probably just bring this...
Well, what do we think is going to happen between now and Old Trafford? Because I genuinely don't know. He's come out and he's done
conference. They'll go to ground. They'll see it through to Old Trafford. We'll probably go there and win.
Time does Roderick Sandy tweet? It's 4:45.
Well, the wine will kick in.
Oh, I've got both. I've only got one.
The wine will kick in at about, 9, 10 o'clock? Something like that, do we think?
It's kicked in for me already.
Let's draw a line under this one, and we'll come back to it all through the week. Obviously, we're going to have a scum preview and propaganda and all that sort of stuff to come this week. But in the meantime, thank you for joining us. Well, it wasn't the most fun, and it wasn't the most analytical.
Michael's not here, but he's here in spirit.
Oh, I think he'll have had a great afternoon.
Yeah, no, he actually just texted me and just said, same shit every week. He doesn't know what he's doing. Was it any better on TV? And I've just said it was dog dirt on TV. Mm. And he says, for the clarity of the group, I think he should shut up and fuck off in this moment and all future moments.
People say that when we're sitting watching on Sky Go, we can't represent the views of the Match Going fan. Well, there's one.
There is one. Thank you for joining us on this one. We'll speak to you soon.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.